Won't you be glad one day when we're not limited by time and we stand before the throne of God and with every turn of Him we see a different facet that we've never seen before? And nothing will be able to come out of our mouths but holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We get snippets of it here during our worship sets and at home when you're worshiping, but someday our bodies will be able to withstand standing or bowing or laying before His throne in worship. And I enjoy this time together. I appreciate our worship team always being willing to take us to that place. It's a great, great plowing of the heart and the mind to receive the word. Amen. Thank you, guys. Y'all can be seated. It is Thanksgiving week, and I am thankful that we have a thankful church family. Our hearts should be thankful all the time, but isn't it great that our nation acknowledges that we should have a day to set aside just to be thankful? John taught an awesome message Wednesday night on thankfulness and tying it in with everything else we've been teaching on Sunday mornings. It was great. You can go online and listen to that on the RCC website. Go to the in-depth Wednesday night tab and it'll take you to it. It was wonderful. This week, you are, as a church family, you're providing turkeys for Project Hope and Saving Grace. Both houses are going to be turkified by you, and so thank you for that. That's a great ministry. We appreciate both of those houses, and I appreciate that y'all give us the freedom to sow into their lives, to encourage them to keep going in their recovery and their freedom from addiction. And make the day special for them. They're spending that day away from their families. And that can make them want to go home when they don't need to. So those turkeys that Dylan and John hauled, wherever Dylan is, floating around here somewhere, hauled to the houses for us, those are ministry. They're not just feeding their stomach. They're loving them. And so thank you for that. You also filled the Women's Bible Study. Y'all helped fill the London Elementary School pantry for this week. As the children got out of school this last week, those that are on the backpack program went home with their backpacks full of food to make sure that since they're missing that school lunch and breakfast time, that they are fed all week before they come back to school. So thank you also for those who participated in that. A lot of times I forget to tell you what you're doing because you sow into the ministry here, and sometimes, Ken, I forget to tell them, this is what you're doing. You're doing this. And so I'm going to try to do a better job in 2025 of telling you when you do something. Because I guess I battle, how do I say this nicely? When you're a church and you put out on social media a lot about what you're doing, sometimes I struggle with that. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Like, look what we're doing. So I struggle in saying those things sometimes, but yet y'all need to know what you're doing. And so if you ever are, if you don't work a daytime job or you've got time where you can help us with things like that, then in January or now, you can let us know that you're willing to help with special things. And we'll have you hauling turkeys instead of Dylan and John. And let you in on it. It's good to get your hands on the doing. It's great to give, but it's also great to deliver those turkeys and to see the faces. And so forgive me for not always putting it out there. I'm trying to get it well balanced where we don't get into pride and look at us, look what RCC is doing, but look what the body of Christ is doing. Amen. I'm going to continue on faith and the imagination. John taught last week. It was so good. If you missed last week, please go back and listen to it. We've been doing this all month of November. And imagination, we have discovered, is created by God. It was not meant for evil. It was meant for good. And just because the enemy has made it evil and used man's imagination against him does not null out God's purpose for imagination and that He wanted us to be using it. It's a creative tool for you. Imagination wasn't meant to be negative. It was meant to be a creative tool for you. You can actually, in your mind, read a scripture and see yourself doing it before you ever do it. In fact, you have to see yourself doing it before you ever doing it. And when we read things like we're to do the works of Christ, what were the works of Christ? Sherilyn, good to have you in. We have to know that, and we have to be able to see ourselves. The believer shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. If I don't see myself as the believer, then I'm not going to pray for you. And we had a beautiful experience happen the other day. I'm looking to see if my kids are up there. I had an injury, and it was traumatic. I had a dinosaur attack my hand, and it bit me. And this is a big dinosaur. I mean, we're talking, you know, probably one of those 24-inch dinosaurs. And Jordan Paul, the 3-year-old, and I were playing dinosaurs, and this Ralph, the dinosaur, there's Ralph, Bob, and Junior, and Ralph attacked my hand and bit me, and he has really big teeth. And the 3-year-old, we're sitting on the floor. Rusty's videotaping us, me being a dinosaur and all the foolishness that we do because we love our grandchildren. And Jordan Paul reaches over, he gets my hand, he places it in his little hands, and he said, "You be healed in Jesus' name. Amen." Like I passed out on the floor. And then he bit his finger and handed me his finger. And Grandpa. We all got bit and healed all in one day. And it was one of the best days of my life. He can see himself. At 3, he can see himself. Now, life happens sometimes to us, and sometimes it tries to knock out the image that God's created in us. Yep. Let's say you lay hands on somebody and you don't see the manifestation of healing. You still did what you were told to do. And we have to go back and not let our imagination of it not happening because we saw it not happen. We can't let life take the God-given gift of what Joshua 1:8 tells us is meditating the word. We've talked about that word a lot. It's not a New Age term. It's a God term. And he tells us to meditate on his word. In fact, I was reminded of a scripture that we haven't covered, and I don't have it in my notes, and it came to me during praise and worship, so I put it in here. And obviously, it's a good one to be in here. John may have brought it out last week, but I didn't remember it if he did. Psalm 19, verse 14. We sing this. We say this. We know this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. What's the meditation of your heart? Miss Betty, it's you imagining the word. It's you picturing the word. Remember 2 weeks ago, we talked about seeing what we hear. Seeing what we read from the scripture, not just hearing it, but seeing it, that is your imagination. That is meditating on the word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That is, I know that's a kind of a familiar verse, but what a powerful verse. I need to make sure that my imagination, my meditation lines up and pleases God. We talked a lot about fantasy. We talked a lot about video games. We talked a lot about a lot of other... Satan substitutes for God's truth. It's counterfeit. Thank you, Dylan. I need you up here on the front row to give me that word when I'm looking for it. Always do it. It's counterfeit. And these fantasy realms try to take you somewhere, it's fake. It's false. It's not the truth. It's not taking you, most of them, I'm going to say, because I don't know of any godly ones, they're not taking you to growth, to advancement, to further the kingdom. to further your Christian walk. And I know I step on a lot of toes when I talk about this, but I didn't get up here to be voted in homecoming queen. I am responsible for what you are taught, and I'm responsible when I see issues in our culture, in our society, to call it out and call it what it is. And you know, if your kids want to play Mario, that's okay, but limit it. And certainly, man, I could use some names of some video games right here. You need to watch what your kids are playing. Not for 5 minutes. And they don't need to be entertaining and reacting with people online playing the video games. I've seen what can happen. I've had to deal with it in the office. Everything from gender issues to suicidal thoughts that come that are seeded because once you put a child on a game or an adult on a game, there's so many avenues that can take place. Please use caution. And if it's not leading you to a better place, I might need prayer for my hurt finger again. I feel bit up here. Imagination is important. It's powerful. So powerful that Satan sees the need to manipulate it. If it wasn't powerful, he wouldn't mess with it. It's powerful, but never forget that it's God-given and it's meant for God use. It's meant to aid our faith. And I'm pretty sure that without our imagination, we can't have faith. Because faith sees what the senses don't feel or see. Right? Remember Hebrews 11? You can go ahead and turn there because we're going to go back there. Imagination is how we see and plan beyond our physical eyes. The last time I taught, I gave you the assignment to build on what you're hoping for. First of all, you need to know what you're hoping for. You need to know what the promises of God are. You need to know that He's promised it. Faith comes from hearing His word, right? That's how that hope of, oh, I can be healed. Or, oh, I can lay hands on people. Oh, that's where hope comes from. We talked a lot about hope and faith, I think, in that session. You were supposed to build on what you're hoping for. How do you build on it? By giving it your attention, by meditating on it, imagining it, talking about it with like believers, speaking it, using your words, by studying what God's scripture says about it, by seeing what you hear. We talked about that. It's like letting God's word blueprint your life. It's like letting His word blueprint it out. Letting His word show you what your marriage can look like. Letting God's word show you what raising a family can look like. Even if it doesn't look like it right now, you need a blueprint to be able to picture what it can look like. Let God's word blueprint what your thought life can look like. My children are taught of the Lord, and great is the peace of my children. That's what it can look like, right? So you're letting it blueprint it, how you can be, who you can be according to what He sees. Hebrews 11:1, King James Version. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now this was interesting to me because I was listening to Andrew Womack this morning I was listening to Andrew Womack. He has a whole series on this, and I've only listened to number 7, so I got to go back and listen to all of his. But it's a big teaching of his on imagination. But on this one, he said, this is just the one that popped up when I Googled it. Andrew Womack said, hope is often what's the word that's used in scriptures for godly imagination? Well, that makes sense. Because if I go on my Bible program and I put in imagination, almost every scripture that involves the word imagination is talking about evil imaginations. Now there's a few, and we've talked about a few of them, that are talking about godly, using meditation or godly imagination in the right way. Most of them are on the negative. And I thought, where in the New Testament does it talk about imaginations? And Andrew Womack said that this morning. I was like, hope! Hope is an imagination. We even talked about it 2 weeks ago. That there was a difference in hope and faith. Hope was dreaming about a vacation, Googling it, talking to people who had been there, looking at where you might want to go. But faith was booking the flight, right? You remember that? Hope is still looking towards something. It's looking. It sees it. It sees it's possible. So hope is necessary. Faith is the substance of things you hoped for. If you're not hoping for anything, you got faith for nothing. That's why people are hopeless. And they have no faith for anything. They can't, because they haven't seen it, because they haven't heard God's word on it. But once you hear God's word on it, you can choose to see what you hear. Meditate on it, the scripture would say. I love that. Hope is the scriptural word for godly imagination. So now I've got to go look up all the scriptures on hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. Faith is the evidence, which you think is seen, right? It's the evidence of things not seen. Where do you see it? By faith. You can picture it. I'll pick on Jody back there. She gave her testimony the other day in ladies' Bible study. Jody can see herself walking unassisted. She's already talked to us about what she's going to do when that day comes. And she showed up here the other day, not on a walker, but on a cane. Amen. And so she's already told me, I'm not going to tell y'all. I want y'all to be surprised when it happens. But when she doesn't need the walker or the cane, she has a plan for you. Amen. You know what? I know she has faith for it, because she is talking it, she is seeing it, she's making plans for it, she has booked the flight. I love that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, we might say by the senses. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. You can read about those elders in Hebrews 11, 1 through. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The ages or the worlds were framed by what? The word of God. Not by what happened, but what happened was framed by the word of God. And I can hear my dad right here. You need to frame your world by the word of God. You need to frame your life by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, that sounds like a tongue-tongler right here, right? The things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So I'm going to grab my little blueprints down here. Dylan, I knew we left these all piled up in my office for a reason. Mainly because I haven't picked up what I said I was going to pick up to put these in. This is you. That's me. Look, Dylan. There you are, right there on the front row with Rachel. Neither one of y'all were even born, I don't think, when this took place. This is the blueprints to this room that you are sitting in right now. Someone saw this. They saw it in their mind. They imagined it. They blueprinted for it. And you're sitting on it. I'm not going to put that up there because I'll leave it for a couple of Sundays and Rachel will have to move it for me like she did my Bible the other day. That was your pew.
Yes.
You can't see yourself on that blueprint, but yet here you sit.
Yep.
And if you'd have showed me that platform and said you're going to stand on that platform and pastor this church, when that was drawn, I couldn't see it, but here I stand.
Amen.
Faith is progressive, ladies and gentlemen. It's progressive. It starts off with hope. With you just seeing that there might be a chance that you might be healed. With you just seeing that there might be a chance that your marriage can change. With you just seeing that there might be a chance for your mental health to improve. For you to just see that there might be a chance that you could succeed in life. For you to just think that there might be a chance that you could walk and minister for God. Faith is progressive. It starts with hope. You may not can see yourself in His Word yet, but keep looking. Keep looking at it because you are framing your life, you're blueprinting your life. Every time you imagine yourself in the Word and what it says, every time you meditate on His Word, you are blueprinting your life. Every time you choose to believe His Word, every time you put away any other picture that comes to your mind about who you are or what you can or cannot do, every time you ignore the words of the people around you who tell you who you are or what you cannot do that come against the Word of God, anytime you picture any other picture in your mind from your past, every time you choose the Word of God over that, you are blueprinting reconstruction of your life. And someday, you will stand in the place that you were hoping you could be.
Man, that's good.
Whew. Now, faith, it is the substance of things hoped for. What do you hope for? What do you hope for? Yours is going to be different than mine. I have things that I hope for that I haven't seen yet, other than I've seen it in His promise. So I'm in hope. We got to know if we're in hope or if we're in faith. Hope's not a bad thing. It's a necessary thing. This is where it starts, meditating on the Word, seeing yourself in the Word. When God gives you a promise, begin to see that promise. Yours may be, I have taught my children of the Lord, and great is the peace of my children. That may be your hope. Some of you, it may be that your husband or your wife will be saved by your, King James Version, conversation, your lifestyle. Not by you beating them in the head with the sermon when you get home, but by your lifestyle, by your godly lifestyle, that it would literally bring them salvation. So you've got to know the Word to have hope, to change into faith, to grow into faith. We've got to, I know John got on this, I think it was Wednesday night. If you're not reading your Bible yourself, you're missing it. This is God's letter to you. And it's one thing to have Rachel read me a love letter from Rusty. It's another thing for Rusty to read me a love letter. See, a lot of you come on Sunday mornings and you hear us preach the Word. You might come on Wednesday nights and hear us preach the Word. You might listen to people on TV preach the Word. But you're not going and spending that time with you and the author with what He has to say to you. Because if you want hope, read it. Let him speak to your heart about what you hope for. I can sit up here and tell you what I hope for my family, what I hope for our lives, what I hope for in the ministry. But if God ministers to you, it's going to look different because it's you. And so we need that time with him where we can place that word in my heart and then meditate on it. Think about what he has said to us. And I give this example every time. So I remember my dad doing things, and I could like say it before he would say it, but I'm going to talk about Aunt Ethel and Uncle Henry just briefly here. My great aunt and uncle, when she passed away, somebody gave me this chocolate box, and old, beautiful chocolate box. And inside that chocolate box is the letters that my Uncle Henry wrote her over the years. You know, they married when she was like, I don't know, they married so young, back then like 16 or something. But he was in the Navy, and he would write her. And he was a very highly educated man. He wrote very beautifully, and his love letters were, whew, John Glenn. Oh, see, is that the other side of the family bloodline from you? I must have missed it too. Corinne's like, yeah, that was the other side. He's a romantic. I can tell. I can tell, Corinne. These love letters, she lived with him, married with him for, I don't know, 70 years. But you know what? She still kept his written word. It was very special to her. It was priceless to her. And when he tells us to keep his word, we need to understand what he's saying. Don't you let out of your mind and out of your heart what I've written to you. That ought to drive you to your Bibles. It ought to drive us there. Because those words, they're framing our life with him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What do you hope for? It's the evidence of things not seen. What do I desire to see? Godly. I'm talking about godly. All of this is based on God's word. This isn't wishing for something. This is based on, this is not mind over matter. This is on in God's word. What do you desire to see in your life? Because faith will become the evidence of what you haven't seen, but that you desire to see. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. You know, they had to press through some things. When you read the Hall of Fame of Faith of Hebrews 11, these people had to walk through some things. They had to keep their attention on God and what he had told them in order to reach the finish line. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen, look around you, this sanctuary right here, things that are seen were made of things which did not appear. Dad didn't have a thought and this thing just pop up. No, he drew it on the back of a boot box. This building was blueprinted originally in the mind of my dad. My dad took that imagination, blueprinted it onto paper, which is a great lesson. Write it down, right? Habakkuk, right? Write the vision. And then he had to take that vision and take it to somebody with the ability to do blueprints. And with his words and with his imagination, he transferred that vision into a man with the ability to draw it out on blueprints, who then the blueprint, as faith is a process, the blueprint went to the builders, the plumbers, the electricians, the framers, the concrete guys, and they, now it's seen. Didn't start off seen. It was a process. I don't want you to get frustrated with the process. Don't ditch the process. Keep choosing to see and then you will see. Keep choosing to see, and then you will see. How do you see yourself? You know, where do you want to see changes? What are you hoping for your life, your family, and your ministry? Because you do have a ministry. I want to challenge you to find the blueprint for it. Got a whole book of blueprints. Have you ever searched for a blueprint? Of course, now we do it online. Back in the day, Aunt Pam, we searched blueprints out of magazines, blueprint magazines. And you got to search in here and say, all right, that's how I want my kids to turn out. Well, if that blueprint's going to show you how.
Yep, that's good.
What kind of marriage you want? Oh, marriage blueprints, health blueprints, peace blueprints, joy blueprints. Get out of that depression and have some joy blueprints. It's right in here. But we got to search out that blueprint and begin the process of seeing it. John brought out Ephesians 3:20 Wednesday night. I want to go there again before we run out of time. And you know what I found? Even when life is good, we're at a good place in life. And a lot of you are in a good place in life. Some of you are not at your favorite place, and so you really need the blueprinting. But John taught a message last week on, was that last Sunday? On the God-given, or is that Wednesday night? The God-given right to dream. Yeah. Is that Wednesday night? He taught Sunday and Wednesday, so one of those, y'all can look it up. Even when your life is good, don't quit blueprinting. Don't quit blueprinting. If you're in here and you're 102, don't quit blueprinting. It's what makes us feel alive. That's what God didn't create us to be stagnant water. It's living water, right? Living water, moving water. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Well, we could just stop right there. See, we think we're going to outthink God. Oh, we don't say that out loud because it really sounds stupid when you say it out loud. You think you're going to outdream God? You think you're going to out-hope God? Oh, I could never hope for that. Why? Unless it's ungodly. We're talking about in the bounds of godliness. You think you're going to out-hope God? That's ridiculous. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. All three of those words are beautiful. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that works in God. Us. See, he's exceedingly abundantly above. That's his capabilities. Exceedingly abundantly above. All that we could ask or think. But it's according to the power, and that word is dunamis, the Greek word dunamis, miraculous force of power that worketh, which means that's active in us, in me. It's not about how great God is when it comes to me receiving. His is stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's what's got to change in me because it's according to the power, the dunamis, that miraculous force and power that works in us. That's active. I like that word. That's active. It's actually the word energeo. That's energized. That's at work on the inside of you. If you don't have it at work on the inside of you, ain't nothing working. And we blame God. But it's according to the power that works in us. My dad would always tie in Romans 1:16 here, and I really wanted to go there, especially since John didn't cover Romans 1:16 the day he taught this. I'm just going to read it to you. I want you to keep in mind what we just read from Ephesians 3. That's according to the power that works in you. Romans 1:16 says, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The power that's working in me is the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation is not just salvation from hell. This is soteria here. This is saving me from this. Lord, save me from this. This situation, this sickness, this disease, that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. And herein lies the problem. And the need for us to meditate on His Word so that we can see it, so that we can believe it, so that it's at work in us and producing what we've seeded in our lives, so that the blueprint begins to be seen. Dunamis, force, miraculous power that works in us. It comes from His Word and believing it. Change is totally possible, ladies and gentlemen. Change is totally possible. Change in your health, change in your mental health, change in your parenting, changing in your finances, on your jobs, and your callings, your gifts from God. It's according to the power that's active in you. It's me choosing it. It's me practicing it. It's me doing it. That's active. And sometimes my activity is me reading it. Sometimes my activity is me meditating on it. Sometimes my activity is me speaking in line with it. That's how I keep it active in my life. You can't just read something and let it lie dormant and expect it to produce. Active is a key word here. How can you activate the word that you've heard? Meditate on it. Speak it. Think on it. Pray to God about it. Practice it. Do what it says. That's how you keep it active. Don't let it go dormant. Now listen to this small phrase. You don't have to turn there, because this is actually talking about a greedy man. But I want to pull out this statement from Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We say it this way a lot. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And you know, this is a tough question, but Robbie, how do you see yourself? How do you think about yourself? Because that's blueprint in your life. And you know, I talk with people a lot who have gone through really hard childhoods and were things spoken over them. And it's still blueprinted in there. It's time to take God's word and let it build what God sees you as, who God sees you as. And situations in life, they throw us for a loop sometimes. And we got to go back and we got to, God, I need you to reconstruct this. I need you to renovate this area and get that blueprint out and let Him do it. Because as you think in your heart, you can wish for a gazillion different things, but as you are thinking in your heart, so are you. And we may not can control everything that's done to us, and we may not can control everything that's said to us in life, but we have been given the ability to control what we think. And as you think in your heart, so are you. So all that stuff that happened to you is not the thing with the power. It's what you're thinking that has the power. That's more powerful than I can emphasize. I wish I could clap my hands louder. It's just not, I don't know, I need some man hands up here. It's the truth. All the things that happen to you, they do not get to blueprint your life. It's what you think. As a man thinketh in his heart. Not as that man thought in his heart about you. We're given the power to control and choose what we think, and that becomes the blueprint for my life. Quit repeating what other people have said about you, what they've done to you, and start repeating what God said about you and what He's done for you. You will see a change. I'm feeling preachy, and John's not even here. I like it when he gets preachy, don't you? We need a little Burge in the house, right, Brother Burge? Deuteronomy 30, verse 10. I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified. You're going to recognize it because it's quoted in the New Testament in Romans 10 as well. But I'm going to read the original statement from Deuteronomy 30. Starting in verse 10, out of the Amplified. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep His commandments and His statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and with all your being or soul. King James Version says soul. If you turn to the Lord, your God, with all of your mind, all of your heart, and all of your being. We need to turn from and turn to. With all of our mind. That includes my imagination. That includes my thoughts. That includes my memory. We talked about memory being a part of imagination. With all of our heart and with all of our being. For this commandment which I command you this day is not too difficult for you, nor is it far off. I like that. I like that. This is not too difficult for you, nor is it far off. It is not a secret laid up in heaven, that you should say who's going to go to heaven and bring it to us, that we may hear and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that you should say who's going to go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear and do it. But the word is very near you. Where is it? In your mouth and in your mind and in your heart, so that you can do it. Well, we can just read that and say amen. That's pretty much 3 or 4 weeks worth of preaching right there, summed up in one passage. I don't know why I didn't see that before. This isn't too difficult for you. It's not far off. The word is near you. It's supposed to be in your mouth. It's supposed to be what's on your mind. That will make it in your heart. And then you can see to do it. Just like Joshua 1:8. You meditate on the word. Then you can observe to do it. That's see to do it. Speak the word. That's the way you get it into your heart. Imagine it in your mind. Speak it. And it will get into your heart so that you can do it. Yeah, it's not too difficult for me. And it's not that far off. It's near me. It's in my mouth. It's in my mind. It's in my heart so that I can do it. And then he ends it with this in verse 15. See, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil. Yeah, you know, on down further in the passage, he says, therefore choose life. I think it's I don't remember which verse that is, 19 maybe. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. Because you're not just blueprinting your life. You're influencing the blueprint of someone else's life. Parents, come on. What do those kids see you doing? How they see you responding? Don't get under the weight of that to where you see it as impossible. This is not too difficult for you, and it's not far off. You're going to have to start changing what you're thinking, changing what you're speaking, so that you can see to do what God's placed in you to do. Are you going to be perfect? No, but let's be better. Does God love us anyway? Yes. But I'm telling you, there is something about pleasing God that is even above being loved by God. I probably just caused a whole lot of questions. But I'm telling you, there are scriptures about people pleasing God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, the scripture said. He loves you? Yes, he loves the whole world. But there's something about saying, well done, you good and faithful servant. That's what we're going for. Amen. Let's keep growing in this. I think this is the last one, unless God gives me something else this week to go along with faith and imagination. But let's put it into play. Amen. Man, I got to quit letting y'all out so early. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. You know, let's just start imagining ourselves being lights at our family dinners Thursday. Let's imagine ourselves handling conversations correctly. He gave us a blueprint for Thanksgiving dinner. He said, don't enter into stupid conversations and arguments. He told us that in the Word. He told us not to take a dog by the ears. We're going to get bit. He's got a lot of advice in there for Thanksgiving dinner. I encourage you to look it up before Thursday in case you were to need to pull that out. And then you've already seen yourself just cool, calm, and collected, being the light. And I realize family dynamics sometimes can be challenging. You know that's coming. And so why not have a blueprint for it? Why not have a blueprint for it? And let's go and be thankful that we got family to be with. There's a lot of people that don't. And so I believe that he can give us some sound wisdom out of his word. Amen? Amen. Remind me, we'll look those up for... No, I'm just kidding. We're going to his sister's Sunday. Even the best of circumstances, there's family dynamics, right? And so we'll be prepared for it. Y'all can stand with me. I'm meddling now, as my dad would call it. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen. As we did a couple of weeks ago, we submit our minds again to God. Father, we bring them to you. We know that it is under our control of what we think. You gave us that free will. You gave us that responsibility and privilege. But we bring them to you again to submit them to you to say, we are making a choice this day to read your word for ourselves, to see ourselves in it. They're not just stories, Father. They're written for our good. And we will meditate on what you prick in our hearts, Father, what the accounts, the places, the scriptures that catch our attention where we know that you're wanting to deal with us and teach us about something. We won't just read past those, Father, but we will stop and listen to what you have to say. Because of that, our Christian walk will not be boring, but it'll be one of growth and it'll be one of fruit. Father, the world needs our fruit. So we thank you for the growth that's taken place in this room. We choose to set our time aside to see ourselves in your word. I thank you, Father, that healings will take place because of it. spirit, soul, and body, Father, people change as you blueprint the things that they need in their lives. As they choose it, Father, we choose it. We're going to look to it. I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it. Thank you for your anointing that's in this place.
Yes.
It's on your word. It's on your scriptures. We have ears to hear, Father. We have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us individually. We submit ourselves to you with full trust because of your great love for us. And the power of the past is broken by the plan of your word. The hope and the future comes from us turning from the past and looking for the hope and the future. And the anointing of your word breaks the yokes of bondage that have held people by their past, their imagination, their memories are turned to you and away from those things. It is our choosing. It is our choosing. Father, as they're with family, if those memories of the past try to pull them back into the old building, Father, remind us, Holy Spirit, you are with us everywhere we go. Remind us there is a new thing, and it is way more powerful than the old thing, and it'll bring joy to our hearts. Give us the ability to forgive because we don't want any ties holding us back from what you have for us. And I thank you. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. It is in Jesus' name. The church says, amen. Amen. Let it be. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you Sunday.